have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Psalms. I'd like to read from the 133rd Psalm. Psalm 133. And probably this whole psalm that most of you know it by heart, yet I think all week long God has affirmed over and over that that's what He would have us to study today is the first verse of Psalm 133. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. The gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come into thy house. Thank you for sparing our lives and the lives of our family and friends through another night. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that have already been ours during this day. Thank you for the felt presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word. We thank you for the little knowledge that we have of your word. And we pray that you would help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for people that are willing to read and study thy word and are willing to follow your holy word. We thank you for this church. Thank you for this body of thy people. And we pray that you would bless every other congregation wherever they're assembled together this day, that you would be with them and bless every man to preach the Word of God. Pray that you would help us all, that we would be filled with the Spirit of God this day. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we come this morning asking you to fill us with thy Spirit. We do beg thy special blessings upon Brother Julius and Mount Union Primitive Baptist Church. We pray that you would bless them this day. Pray that you bless all the other congregations in a very special way. Bless us during this coming week of worship and recreation. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be manifest in an abundant way. Pray that you would move in the hearts of your people to come together, that we might have a time to worship thee, to study your word, have a good time of fellowship, that we might be joined together in a very special way during this coming week. We thank you for this time that's been set aside for us to study your word. We thank you for all the different ones who are going to be teaching and preaching and pray that you would bless each of them. But Lord, we thank you for all the others that have worked so hard in preparing for this time together. Bless us now this coming week. Pray that you would bless all of your people. Bless those who are sick and afflicted. Pray that you would bless Brother Chris and his family and the loss of his mother. Pray that you would bless all those in the hospitals and nursing homes. We thank you, Lord, for those from the nursing homes that are here today. Pray that you would bless each of them in a very special way. Help us now, we pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 133, Psalm 133 in verse, I'll read the all three verses. The Word of God says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Correctly read that Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3. The main thought that's on my heart this morning is the first verse where the Word of God says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." The main word that's on my heart is the word unity. The word unity means oneness, to be alike, to be together. And we need to always pray not only for unity. Every home needs unity. Did you know that? We need unity in the home. We need unity in the house of God. We need unity among the people of God. And the Word of God says here, "Brethren, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Had David, during his life, had David experienced a lot of conflict and disunity in his life? He had experienced all kinds of trouble. Saul hated him. He saw Israel divided. He saw much conflict, and so on this particular occasion, which I believe was written late in his life, and Israel was together, I think David finally could rejoice and say, "Behold, look how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." In order to have true unity, and let me first say that there is an ungodly kind of unity. The Scripture does not teach that all people can dwell together at peace. Does everybody understand that? This is not talking about the church being one with the world. This says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for what?"
Brethren.
For brethren to dwell together in unity. You can have unity and be far away from God. People are united against God. There are many people in America today who despise God, and they actually are better united than Christians are today. That's the only reason that evil is prevailing in America today, is because there is more unity among the ungodly than there is among God's people. And we need to pray for unity. We need to pray that the people of God will join together and labor together and work together and be as one, that we would be united in the truth. I remember when I was 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, in that age of my life, I wanted unity. There was a lot of conflict and division among Primitive Baptists. And I remember often praying, as my daddy would call on me to pray in church, and I would pray, "God, help us to all be united. Help us to have unity. Help us to have peace." And my daddy would often say, "Son, I wish that you would pray not just for unity, but pray that we would be united in the truth." And there is a major difference that I did not understand at that time. At that time in my life, because of my immaturity and my lack of understanding, all I wanted was peace. All I wanted was all of us to get along and everybody be happy. And all I wanted was a oneness, no matter what compromising it took, no matter what had to be done. I just wanted what? I just wanted peace. I just wanted unity. My daddy began to instruct me, and it was years later that I began to really understand the importance that we pray not just for unity, but that we would be united in the truth. In fact, the way the word unity is used in the Word of God, it always means that. We have a different concept of unity today than what the Bible is talking about when the Bible talks about unity. For example, those people in the graveyard right behind this church, is there unity back there? Is there unity in that graveyard? I'm not talking about scriptural unity. I'm just talking about, are they united out there? Are they all at approximately the same level? Are they all facing the same direction? Or is there any conflict out there? Is anybody out there fighting against anyone else? There's no conflict. They're all together. They're at peace. They're at rest. They're all laying in those graves. There is unity out there, but there is nothing out there that pleases God as far as the unity that exists out in that graveyard. And there are a lot of churches. I've heard churches read in association minutes that we're all united and at peace. And I would often think, as I would hear that read, knowing the condition of the churches, I would think, yes, you're as united and as at peace as a graveyard. And brethren, we don't need that kind of unity. We need unity with God, first of all. And if we are at one with God, then we will have scriptural unity among the brethren. The first goal of my life and your life is not just to get along with everyone else, but the primary goal should be that we would be at unity and oneness with God. And if I am with God, in unity with God,
then I will be in unity with everyone else who follows God. Does everybody follow that? That's what scriptural unity that is. That's what real unity is first of all to be at one with God, and then you will be at one with everybody else that's at one or unity with God. Go with me to the New Testament now. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 John. Look in your Bibles at 1 John, very end of the New Testament, back up to Revelation, and then just a few pages before the book of Revelation, look at 1 John chapter 1. I want you to see, to begin with this morning, I want you to see that the unity that's taught in the Word of God, excuse me, that unity is to be united in the truth. If you compromise, listen carefully to what I'm fixing to say. If you ever compromise on the truth of God's Word in order to have unity with people, then you will not have true scriptural unity. We will become the enemy of God if a desire for unity is more important than standing for God's Word. Listen carefully now to 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. John is writing to the people of God, and he says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us." Why did he say, "I've written these words to you"? I've written these words to you so that you can have what? Fellowship. What is fellowship? That's unity. I remember hearing Daddy preach about fellowship often, and he would talk about fellowship is like fellows in the same ship. They're all together. They're working together. They're laboring together. That's what the church is supposed to be. That's what your family is supposed to be. You're supposed to have fellowship in your family. You're supposed to have fellowship with the brethren. And he says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us." Was John saying here, you've got to follow a particular way in order to have fellowship with us? Was John saying that? Was John saying here, you have to follow a particular way in order to have fellowship with us? Yes, he was. Sometimes people say, you want everything your way. Listen, brethren, you ought not to want everything your way, but you ought to want everything to be done God's way. You and I do not have the right, the authority, or the prerogative to change what God's Word says for us to do. And we need to pray always that God will first of all help us to know His way. And then secondly, that God will help us to walk in His way. And then thirdly, that God will bless us to have brothers and sisters in Christ that also want to walk in God's way. So John says here, "I've written these things unto you, so that you can have fellowship with us." Did they need to know what the truth was in order to have fellowship with John? Was he writing these things so they could have fellowship? Did John desire fellowship? Do you think John felt like David did when David said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity"? He wanted their fellowship, but he knew that the only way they could have fellowship is if they were all following the same rule, the same standard. Was it John's rule? Oh, it wasn't John's rule, it was God's rule. All John was doing was expressing to them the truth of God. "That which we have heard and seen, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Whose fellowship was John with? Did John have fellowship? Who was his primary concern about having fellowship with? Yes, with God and with Jesus Christ. He says, "My fellowship is primarily with God and Jesus Christ. And I've written these things unto you so you can know how you can have fellowship with whom? You can have fellowship with God and with Jesus Christ. And if I have fellowship with God and Jesus Christ, and you have fellowship with God and Jesus Christ, guess what else? We'll have what? We'll have fellowship with each other. We'll have communion. We'll have unity. That's exactly right. We'll have unity. come down to verse 6. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, well, pronoun Him is referring to whom?
Jesus
or God. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But, now listen carefully to verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You see the wording there? We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What do we have to do in order to have fellowship with God? What do we have to do in order to have fellowship with God? In the light of this verse of Scripture, what we have to do is we have to walk in the light. We cannot have fellowship with God unless we're walking in the light. But if we're walking in the light, we then have fellowship with God, and we not only have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with all others who are walking in the light. Do you know one of the greatest blessings in this world is to find somebody else that understands the truth? Have you ever found that to be true? Have you ever found somebody else that knew what God's Word taught, and they believed what God's Word taught, and they were trying to stand where God's Word says to stand, and you find great joy in finding other brethren that really, truly want to do what God says? That's what unity is. That's what fellowship is. Fellowship primarily with whom? Fellowship with God. Unity with God. And that leads to unity among the brethren. Was unity important to Jesus Christ? If you go home and read John chapter 17, you'll find that Jesus prayed that they would be one. He prayed that the apostles would be one. That they would be united. That they would have fellowship. He prayed that everybody that ever believed on Him in days gone, in days in the future from the time He was praying, He prayed that they would all be what? What's the word? Three-letter word. That they would all be one. He prayed that repeatedly in John chapter 17, especially in verses 18 through 20, 21, 22. He was praying that they would be one. But do you know what Jesus Christ emphasized was most important? In order for them to be at one, they had to follow one thing. And don't say God, because that's true, but there was something Jesus specifically identified they had to follow, they had to obey, they had to keep in order to be one. What was it? They had to follow the Word of God. They had to follow the commandments of God. Jesus says this. Now let me ask you this question. Is there a difference in being a child of God? Is there a difference in being part of the family of God and being a friend of God? Is there a difference in being part of the family of God and being a friend of God?
Yes.
Yes, there is. There is a major difference. We are part of the family of God because we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world and predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And we were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we were born of the Spirit of God. That makes us part of the family of God. I didn't do anything to become part of the family of God. God did that for me. But then Jesus makes this statement. He says, ye are my friends if. It's a conditional. To be a friend of God is conditional upon what you do. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. And if you do what God has commanded you, if you do what Jesus says, then you're united with whom?
Jesus.
With Jesus, yes. You're at one with Jesus. You're saying, Jesus, whatever you say, whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And then as you are at one and united with Jesus, then you're also united with all the others who are trying to follow Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Please look in your Bibles at Ephesians chapter 4. Please turn there because we're going to probably spend most of our time here in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. We're trying to study about unity, the importance of unity, the blessing of unity. What does David say in Psalm 133, verse 1? He says, behold, look at it. I'll ask you in this church this morning, those of you who have seen conflict and division in this body, Look at how beautiful it is to have unity in the church. Is it not a great blessing to have unity? Isn't it wonderful? Can't you say like David did, look at how good and how pleasant it is to have unity. Look at how wonderful it is to find a body of people that want to follow what God's Word says. That you don't have members in the body that are rebelling against God's Word and refusing to follow God's Word. They love the Word of God. They love the truth of God. Brethren, one of the greatest blessings I have in this world is to be part of a church that loves the Lord and loves the truth of God. And that's the only thing. You know, let me ask you this. What else do we have in common other than the Word of God?
Nothing.
That's right, sister. Nothing. Nothing. We don't have anything in common other than the Word of God. We come from all different kinds of backgrounds. We have different education. We have different socioeconomic levels. We have different kinds of feelings. We have different kinds of thoughts. We have different kinds of qualities and abilities and talents and gifts. We differ in a multitude of ways. The only thing that holds us together is the truth of God's holy word. That's the only unity we have is in the truth of God's word. That's the only way we're all united is that we have the truth of God's word. Oh, that's pretty, brethren. It's pretty. It's wonderful to be united in the truth. Wonderful. I would hate to experience what some preachers do, where you've got seven deacons in the church and every one of those deacons tell you flat out, we will never do what that says in God's word. Now, can you imagine a church having seven deacons and telling the pastor, we will not do what that says?
Imagine seven deacons.
That's right. Has to be a big church. When they had seven deacons in the early church, they had 5,000 men plus women and children. So we've got seven deacons. They're taking care of a lot of widows, I'm sure. I'm being facetious. My point is, I am happy to be part of a church where there's unity in the truth. It is good. It is pleasant to dwell together in unity. Look in your Bibles. Now, let me ask you this question. This is 2008. How many of you can guarantee me that in 2010 we're going to be united in the truth? How many of you can guarantee that in 2015 we're going to be united in the truth? How many of you can guarantee that in 1 year we'll be united in the truth? You can't guarantee that. You know what we need to do? Look in your Bibles at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Listen, please. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. You know what it's like to dwell together in unity? Now, there's something God says we better do. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. The Word of God says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. With all... Now listen, brethren. He's going to identify every attribute that is absolutely essential for us to dwell together in unity. Did everybody hear what I just said? The Apostle Paul in verse 2 is going to say, now here's what's necessary. Now verse 3 is going to talk about unity. But right now he's saying, here's what's necessary in order for you to dwell together in unity. He says in verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness. Give me another word that kind of combines those two together. Lowliness and meekness. Give me one word. What would it be? Humility, humbleness. With all lowliness and meekness. What happens when you get lifted up in pride? Okay, you fall down. Brother Neal said you fall down. That's exactly right. He that exalts himself shall be abased. He'll fall down. But you know what happens? You'll have conflict. You'll have division when you've got pride. If you think your way is better than God's way, then you're out of step with God. If you think your way is better than God's way, if you think God's way won't work, you're out of step with God, and you'll be out of step with His church. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Listen to verse 3 now. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You hear what he's saying that we need to do? Endeavor. What does the word endeavor mean? Work hard. To try hard. Don't give up. Endeavoring to what? To keep the unity of the what? To keep the unity of the Spirit. Listen carefully. We have to work to keep the unity of the Spirit. If you're at one with the Spirit, if you're in unity with the Spirit, that means you're also going to be at unity with what? With one another. So we need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You can't do it without doing what he says in verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Is all of that necessary in order for us to continue in unity? Every bit of that. Do you have to be willing to forgive one another? Yes, you do. Oh, by the way, watch this now. After he says in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, what's verse 4 say? Verse 4 says, there is one body. You hear what he says? There is what? One body. Now, what does 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tell us? There is one body. We're talking about the body of Christ. There are a lot of different members that make up that body, but we're one body. There is one body and one Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Let me mention this. There are a lot of different bodies. There are a lot of different spirits. Everything that here is identified as being one is something that is common or similar to all the people of God, something all the people of God know about. There is one body. That's the body of Christ. And there's one Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord. Is there only one real true Lord? Who is the one Lord? Jesus Christ. One Lord. One faith. Now, there are different faiths taught in the Word of God, but there's only one faith that's common to all the people of God. And that's the faith that's part of the fruit of the Spirit of God. There is a faith that was once delivered to the saints. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. Are there different baptisms taught in the Word of God? Are there different baptisms taught in the Word of God? There's a baptism with fire, baptism with water, baptism with the Holy Ghost. There are a lot of different baptisms. But there's only one baptism that all the people of God experience, and that's when the Holy Spirit comes and you are baptized into Christ Jesus. That's different than water baptism. All of God's children have not experienced water baptism, but there's one baptism that all of God's children have experienced. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. What's the one word he keeps talking about over and over here? One. That's right. Unity. That's right. Unity. One Lord, one faith. Now, what's he saying? Now, if there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, if there's one Father, if there's one, all these things, he says, then can't you be one? Can't you be one? Do you need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace? What do you have to do, Brother John, to stay a part of this church? Okay, keep his commandments. Somebody else tell me something else we have to do to stay united. Okay, very good. I like that. That ought to be enough then. Endeavoring, the question was not clear. The answer that I was looking for is we have to, with lowliness and meekness, be long-suffering, forbearing one another. We're fixing to go off to a week of camp. Now, my wife and I, there's only two of us live in our house anymore most of the time. It gets along better with just two, except we like the grandchildren and children to come occasionally. But let me tell you something. You move in with us, we're going to have problems. Brother Richard, I love you with all my heart. You come stay with us 3 weeks, we'll have a little conflict, I'll guarantee you. Does everybody understand that? It's hard to be that close to each other. What do you have to do? You have to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Do you have to do that in your home? Teresa and I have to forgive each other often. But we're united. We're one. We're one in Christ. It's a great blessing. That's the reason the Word of God says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do you want unity at all cost? Do you want unity at all cost? I asked you that question this morning. You want unity at all cost with people? You willing to give up unity with God in order to have unity with people? You better not be. That's the beginning of the destruction. But we need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. We're fixing to go off to a week of worship and recreation. Brother Clayton, you're going to have some trouble this coming week. I hope not. But it's possible. Because the more you're around other people, the more likely you are to be at odds with each other. Does everybody understand that? And the more you and I need to work on lowliness and meekness and humility. Does everybody understand that? I want us to come back closer than we've ever been before. But in order for that to happen, we're going to all have to work, endeavor, labor diligently, to have all lowliness of mind and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another. And everything's not going to be done your way or my way. Does everybody know that? There's going to be a lot of different things that are done. Every lesson's not going to be taught the way I think it ought to be taught. Everybody's not going to do everything just like you want it done. What do you need? What do you need? Godliness. Very good. That's what you need, godliness. That's a good way to sum it up, isn't it? Godliness. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Come down to verse 11, 12, 13. We're in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. The Word of God says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." He gave all these different members, different gifts in the church. Why? Is there a period at the end of verse 11? Is there a period at the end? He gave all these different men in the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Is there a period there? No period there. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Do you know what my desire is? I want all of us to believe exactly the same thing. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? I want every one of us to believe exactly the same thing. You know why? Not because I want to brainwash you. Some people accuse me of wanting to brainwash people. That's not my intent. I want people to study the Word of God. I want them to look at God's Word. But I do want to sit down and reason together with anybody that's interested in God's Word. I want them to know the truth. And if I'm in error in part of my understanding of God's Word, I want them to show me the error of my way. My desire is to know the truth, teach the truth, preach the truth, and I want the whole world to know the truth. All of God's people to know the truth. I want us to be together. I want us to be united. We need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's the purpose of pastors, is for the unity, unifying the body of Christ. But verse 31 and 32, the end of this chapter, chapter 4, verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil..." Any of you ever had any of this around you? Any of this in you? Anybody ever had any of this around you? Bitterness. How many of you have ever had it not only around you, how many of you have ever had it in you? You ever had it in you? Yeah. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." What are we talking about this morning?
Unity.
Unity at all costs, compromising with the world. In fact, in chapter 5, he warns the church here. He says, "You better not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." 1 Corinthians chapter... Listen carefully, and I'll close right here. I just want you to listen just a minute. 60 seconds. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, one of the main problems in the church at Corinth was there were what? Schisms. Divisions in the body. There were divisions and schisms in the church. And Paul said, you cannot... He said, Jesus said, a house divided against itself, what? Cannot stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. There were divisions in the body. He exhorted them to unity. That's in chapter 1. Then in chapter 5, you know what he told them in chapter 5? He said there's a member in the church that's committing adultery, and you have to put that person out of the church. Was he teaching them a division in verse 5 that was necessary? Was he teaching them a division in chapter 5 that was necessary? Was he teaching them unity in chapter 1 that was necessary? Is the division in chapter 5 necessary to maintain the unity that was taught in chapter 1? Without a doubt. May God help us, brethren, to understand the importance of unity. You know, sometimes I look out and I say, wow. How can you still love me? Brother Terry, Brother Carthel, Brother Brooks. You know, sometimes when I'm talking to somebody, when I'm talking to Brother Brooks sometimes, in fact, I talked to him yesterday, and I got pretty hard, didn't I, Brother Brooks? Pretty loud. My wife was talking to our daughter on the other phone, on the cell phone in another bedroom. She said, "Who in the world is Daddy talking to?" I was loud. I lose my patience. I love Brother Brooks. He's as fine a man of God. I just look forward to watching what's going to happen in his life. And I wonder sometimes how in the world, why would he keep calling me? Do you know that's a miracle? Do you know it's a miracle that any of you keep putting up with me? That's a miracle. You know what we're trying to do? Do you know I love you? You know, I would give my life for Brother Brooks. He's as precious as he can be to me. We all, isn't it wonderful to love one another? To be so concerned about each other that you do get upset sometimes. Because you love each other so much. But then when you get upset with one another, what do? You just make up. Get over it. Brother Ken, we had some rough times over the years. But don't we love each other? Well, there's been two or three times I thought it was all over. Hadn't you? He's hot-headed and I'm hot-headed. But let me tell you something, brethren. We love each other. We love each other. Let brotherly love continue. I wish I could preach this as pretty as it is. That's what Brother McKinley Wright says sometimes. I wish I could preach this the way it really is. I wish I could preach it. Unity, harmony, fellowship, godly unity is one of the most wonderful things there is in God's Word. May God help us to seek after and endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace is my prayer for Christ's sake.